Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless you for your heartfelt sentiments in worshiping the Lord this morning with your finances. 2021 being 2021 and modern technology being modern technology and people being people, we often experience things called a glitch. How many of you know what a glitch is? A glitch is it's like a hiccup when you're trying to talk. So because of a few glitches, we missed some folks with the membership presentation last weekend. Martin, we missed you, my bro. And Sally Esau. Okay. Martin, come up and get your membership certificate, my brother. Julle het last week vir die mense hande geklap en geluk gewens en so on. You can do the same to Martin. Welcome to the Lord's army and being willing to say, here I am, Lord, use me. Thank you for being willing to be part of an imperfect church. Hallelujah. Dis ook my besondere voorreg vanoggend om vir die eerste keer aan julle te verwelkom, voor te stel, althans, Nico en Shannon Jansen van Rensburg, Mr. and Mrs. Jansen van Rensburg. Congratulations, julle. Baie dankie. It's also good to see faces we haven't seen in a long time. Fellowshipping with us again in person, there's something special about the brethren dwelling together and not looking at screens. Hallelujah. So there's going to come a time when we are going to look back and say, onthou jy COVID? Because there's a phrase in scripture that says, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, and it came to pass. Alhoewel die wereld en mense nooit weer dieselfde gaan wees nie, this thing too shall come to pass. Hallelujah. We're into week 3 of our theme that you are going to tell me what it is. What's our theme? Who doesn't know what our theme is? Be honest. There we go. Well, if you look around, if you've made a turn at one of the toilets or look behind the toilet doors or somewhere, you'll see the poster there. You are worth it. Let that sink in. Jimmy's agreeing with me. You are worth it. Last week, just to recap, we spoke about three important aspects of this fact that we are worth it to God. We looked at God's calling on our lives, God's dwelling inside of us, and God's mind on us because we are worth it. For the sake of a biblical foundation, I'm going to read the theme scripture, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, and then we're going to unpack what God has in store for us this week. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And now most people would be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who's especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Let's pray together. Father, it's with grateful hearts because of the completed work of the cross that we as people, sons and daughters of the Most High God, can come to a throne of grace this morning. Holy Spirit, as we look at what you have chosen to put on paper for us to have and to read for ourselves, would you take the Logos, the written word, and speak it into our hearts and into our souls, that it becomes the spoken word of God, so that it changes us and helps us to grow into the men and women of God that you have called us to be. Thank you that accusations and lies of the devil that have kept people in bondage will disappear today, in the name of Jesus, as you remind us who we are in Christ and teach our souls by you, Holy Spirit, the teacher, the shepherd of our souls, that to you we are worth it. Thank you that when we leave this place, we will be changed. Thank you that when we leave this place, we will have the seed of the incorruptible word of God in our hearts to go out and live and apply and build your kingdom into people's lives. As we do that, one heart at a time. And all God's people said, amen and amen. In Christian circles, you might have heard the phrase or the question, are you saved? Have you heard that before? Anybody? Have you heard people ask someone, when and how did you get saved? Have you heard that before? Well, have you ever wondered, what do we get saved from? It's so wonderful preaching to an honest church. Sometimes our biggest enemy is not the devil, it's ourselves. But what else can we be saved from? I once ministered to a guy already. He said, well, I don't feel I need to be saved. What do I need to be saved from? So to conclude the series, You Are Worth It, this morning we're going to discuss something that as a pastor, I stand before the Lord in fear and trembling, but particularly so this morning. Because how dare I speak to God's sons and daughters about this thing without his heart, his nature, and his purpose. Folks, what we're going to discuss this morning is something that in the few short years that I've been walking with Jesus, I've seldom heard preached. Because it's not popular. It doesn't fill church buildings. And it doesn't get people to keep coming back for more. But I'm going to preach it. Because this is what the Lord says this morning. This morning we're going to discuss the realities of hell. Now I'm not here to point any finger at any person and get you thinking, oh, fire and brimstone. That fire and brimstone season waar die mense bang gepraat is not God's heart and motive this morning. God's heart and motive, as per usual, as He's demonstrated since forever, is that He's a God of infinite love and mercy. A good God. Can I get a loud amen this morning? That's the purpose. However, what needs to be said needs to be said. So we're going to take a few minutes, if I may, to discuss the realities of hell. God wants us, as you guys blessed me this morning when you said, from ourselves. Save us from ourselves. Give yourselves a round of applause for that. That's being honest. But God wants us saved from death and from hell. The simplest, most accurate way to describe the whole topic of death is to say this. Death is separation from God's plan for our lives. Because at the end of the day, as geestelike wese wat 'n siel besit in 'n fisiese liggaam, gaan ons nooit dood nie. Die gees is vir ewig. Die siel is vir ewig. But the body, different story. So in the context of this teaching, this is death. Death is separation from God's plan and purpose for your life. Okay? So God wants us saved from death, and He wants us saved from hell. Everybody say, hell. There we go. Some of you say, hell no, man. We use it totally out of context. In His Word, God teaches that hell is just as much a reality as what He is. Did you get that? In His Word, He teaches that hell is just as much a reality as what He is. So before we look at hell for a couple of minutes, I want to just focus on hell for a few minutes and more minutes on the redemption from hell, and focus more time on the deliverance from hell, and focus more time on the truth that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. Hallelujah. So you see a bang praterai, and let's not give the devil any credit or air time, because this is God's time. Hallelujah. So a couple of this, what we're going to look at this morning, I've chosen just four of many misconceptions about hell. Okay, so there are many misconceptions about hell. This morning we're going to look at only four. Are you ready? Number one, God does not send sinners to hell. People choose to live in hell. Die vyand oortuig mense, as jy sleg is, volgens wie ewer se standaarde, gaan die Here jou hel toe stuur. God sends nobody to hell, my brother and sister. People choose to go there. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. It's like God's getting an audience. I'm giving you freedom, people. That's the beauty of the gospel. Freedom. And I'm calling all of creation as witnesses to watch the choice that you make. I'm putting before you the choice of blessings and curses or life and death. Choose for yourself. And when I started meditating on the scripture for the first time, die gedachte van 'n monkey puzzle. Afrikaans sprekende mense beskryf dit so, 'n monkey puzzle. Or in English, multiple choice comes up. God gives you multiple choice questions and He puts the answers right in front of you. It's not a mystery. Dis nie iets moeiliks om uit te vind wat moet ek doen nie. Hy gee dan vir jou lewe of dood, blessings or curses. But I'm going to give you a tip. He says in the scripture, choose life. Choose life. Like, how hard can it be, folks? And yet, look at the world. And yet, look at the choices that people make. I've given you this choice. Now I call heaven and earth as witnesses. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. God is not like, yes, you deserve hell, you. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Die Here kry nie lekker when the enemies of the cross choose to spend eternity in hell. It grieves the Spirit. It breaks God's heart, for His blood was shed for such as those. He takes no delight in the death of the wicked. He says, I only want them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live. Turn. This translation has an exclamation mark. Turn. Turn from your wickedness, O people of Israel. I want to say this morning, turn from your wickedness, O people of South Africa. Why should you die? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord isn't really slow. Being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but He wants everyone to repent. So point number one, God sends nobody to hell. People choose to live there. Point number two, hell was never created for sinners. Hell was never created for bad people. When God created everything and said, let there be, He didn't think, just in case, Mozzie is bietjie hardnekkig, I'm going to make a specially hot place for that jerk. So that, wanneer hy onnoosel is, gaat ek vir hom sê, jy wou nie gehoor het nie, nee. Deh, daar gaat jy. That's not what he had in mind. So what is hell for then? What is hell being created for? Let's see what the scripture teaches. Matthew 24 and verse 31, Jesus teaching about how it's going to be at the end times. And he says this, and then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. Do you get that, church? That's what hell's been created for. The devil and his demons. Not for bad people. Nie vir onverskillige, hardnekkige, ongehoorsame mense in ander kerke. That's what hell's for. Hell's not created for bad people. Point number three. Hell is not some or other terrible experience that you go through on earth. Hell is not the grief that your mother-in-law gives you, gentlemen. Hell is not what you walk into at home after a hard day's work. Hell is not the pressures of the economy out there. Hell is not die moeilike omstandighede by die werk. Hell is not what your teenagers that know everything are putting you through. That's not hell. Hell is not the most difficult, painful experience you've experienced up to now. Hell is not the incurable disease that modern science and doctors and pharmaceuticals can do nothing about. That is not hell. Hell is a physical, real place, as real as God, that exists in the lowest parts of the earth. Point number four, hell is not the grave. Hell is not the grave. If you want to go into a deeper study, there's Dyke's Annotated Reference Bible. There's 85 biblically sound, scripturally backed proofs to teach that hell is most certainly not the grave. So those are the four fallacies we're going to look at this morning. Now I'll go in reverse order. Number one, hell is not the grave. Number two, hell is not some terrible earthly experience. It's a physical, real place. Next one, hell was never created for sinners. Number one, God does not send people to hell. People choose to go there. I'd like the gents at the back to get Luke 16 from verse 19 to 31 ready. One of the most informative passages in Scripture that teaches us a lot about this thing is Luke 16, verse 19 to 31. And we're going to read that entire passage of Scripture so that it can start to shape our hearts and our minds. Is that okay? Before we start, you need to understand this is incorrectly taught as a parable. Some people say the parable of the two Lazaruses. Well, it is not a parable. This passage of Scripture is an actual account of a story that really, really happened. Dis nie 'n gelykenis nie. In every parable, real parables that Jesus teaches, he never used names, and he always illustrates a point backed up by an illustration in the parable. He never uses names. In this passage of Scripture, he uses names and he doesn't illustrate a point. He gives a factual account of something that occurred. Do we get that, church? So Luke 16, 19 to 31 is not a parable. Dis nie 'n gelykenis nie. It really happened. Can I get an amen? Luke 16 from verse 19. Let's read together. Jesus said, there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And his soul went to the place of the dead. The Greek translation there is Hades. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. Some translations say Abraham's bosom, which actually was paradise, but we'll explain that a little bit later. The rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames. But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted, and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted, and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there. And then the rich man said, please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home. For I have five brothers, and I want to warn them so that they don't end up in this place of torment. But Abraham said, Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote. And the rich man replied, no, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead. Wow. I don't know about you folks, but I've had the privilege of meeting two people who have died. The one guy died three times and has now graduated to be with Jesus. And the other guy was dead for 7 days before God raised him from the dead. Met him personally. But I've yet to meet somebody who's had a spiritual out-of-the-body experience where God has shown them hell. I've seen many testimonies from such. But hell is real. So what do we learn from this passage of Scripture? Just quickly, for the sake of what we're teaching this morning, there's some facts about Lazarus and there's some facts about the rich man. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, just quickly. Lazarus was a beggar full of sores and the dogs licked. He laid at the rich man's gate. He died and his body was buried. His soul and spirit were carried by angels to paradise. And he was with Abraham and all of the redeemed. He was in comfort. No hell, no torment, no separation from the saved, no crying for mercy, no regrets of the past, no thirst or punishment in hellfire. And number seven, he retained, and this is important, he retained soul and spirit faculties capable of enjoying eternity with God. So al jou sintuie, al jou geestelike vermoë, behou jy. Net op 'n ander level. We see it from that scripture. Clearly, how he could reason and think and plan and felt the pain, spoke about the torment. Interesting, isn't it? Some people incorrectly teach that you go to hell and you get burnt out. You've all uitgebrand soos a fire lighter or a matchstick. No, you don't. It is eternal. It is eternal. I carry a cigarette lighter with me when I got my cuts on. Specifically for when people look to Vita Light, say, and I light it up for them. And I say, can I tell you about the light of the world? His name is Jesus. Daarom moet ek altyd 'n lighter by my. And once I had the privilege of ministering to a person at a rally. A ministry partner was covering me in prayer fervently, because you don't do this unless the Lord tells you. He said, give your hand, pull it down. I held his hand over this flame, and he pulled it away. I said, you can't handle that. But yet you're choosing to spend an eternity in a place where you're going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. So it's a reality. So those are the things we learn from Lazarus. What do we learn from the rich man? He was clothed in purple. Purple is a very, very expensive color to make. The hardest and most expensive color to make. Speaks of royalty and wealth and just the best of everything. He was clothed in purple and fed sumptuously every day. Ek gaan dit sê in baie kwartaal. Hy het lekker gekry. Elke dag het hy lekker gekry, man. Hy kry dan so lekker. Sy toenale krul opwaarts. That's how this dude was living. Some of us are living like it. Hello? Yeah? None of you agree with me. All right. He died and his body was buried. His soul went to hell. See, if you remember when we were doing spirit, soul, and body, what is the soul? The soul is the seat of the... Come on, church. Must we go back to that series and do it all over again? The soul is the seat of the appetite, desires, emotions, and passions. Lord Jesus, help me. That's the soul. Remember, some of julle frons, soos 'n mosie, waar was ek toe jy dit gebreek het? Ek weet nie, het jy gesit? Ek weet nie of jy alles geabsorbeer het nie. Heel waarskynlik het dalk te lank gepreek, maar anyway. So his soul went to hell. Number four, he was in torment. Number five, he possessed eyes that could see and distinguish persons. Mense vra my, when we die, are we going to be able to recognize? Yes, you're going to be able to recognize. He cried for mercy and begged for Lazarus to bring a drop of water to cool his tongue. He still had a tongue, eyes, memory, intelligence, feelings, emotions, will, voice, reasoning powers, concern for his brothers, and all other soul passions and spirit faculties. And we see people teach in some religions, and that's what it is, a religion, because a religion is a man-made system of rules and regulations to get to God. We have a relationship. In some religions, they teach that you can pray to dead saints. Well, here's an example in the Bible where someone prays to a dead saint, and you achieve exactly what this man achieved by praying to a dead saint. Nothing. Do you get that? He prayed to Father Abraham. Oh, Abraham, please, Abraham said. Sorry, dude, can't do it. So praying to a dead saint ain't going to cut it. That's what Jesus taught us, to pray to God the Father in His name. Are you with me, church? So that's what we learn from the rich man and from Lazarus. And for more in-depth study on this, just quickly, there are five different compartments in hell. There's two Hebrew Greek words and five Hebrew, did I say five compartments? Yes. Two Hebrew Greek words, Rustig, Mozzie. Two Hebrew words and five Greek words that describe the different compartments in hell. Just quickly, if this is making you hungry for study, make sure that you get your blessed assurance into a care group, and the care group leader will unpack it for you. There's Tartarus, there's paradise. Just quickly about paradise. This was the abode of the righteous after physical death. They were held captive by the devil against their will until Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave. It's now empty of the righteous who go to heaven at death, since Christ captured the captives in hell and took them to heaven with him when he ascended on high. Paradise is described as Abram's bosom. It's one of the compartments next to one of the other compartments in hell that has now been emptied since the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's also described, describes a beautiful garden. And poetically, in the language used in the scripture, it means a beautiful place where everything is lekker. Then we get hell, or Sheol, or Hades. The deep end leads us in a song where, even though my soul is in Sheol, that's what it is, in case you wondered. And then we get the abyss, or the bottomless pit, and then we get the lake of fire. So, that's an in-depth study about the realities of hell. But to summarize this whole thing of hell, this is what we should say and discuss this morning. Before the resurrection of Christ, all righteous souls went to paradise, where they were held captive by the devil against their wills. When Christ died, his body went to the grave, but he went to paradise and liberated those righteous captives, taking them to heaven with him when he ascended on high. Because before the death and resurrection of Jesus, you didn't go to heaven, you held in paradise. That's why Jesus says, no man can come to the Father except through me. Matthew 12 verse 40 and Ephesians 4 verse 8 to 10. Now when a Christian dies, they're no longer held captive by the devil in the lowest parts of the earth, but they go immediately to heaven waiting for the resurrection of the body. There's no place called, what's it called? Purgatory. An in-between. You're not bad enough to go to hell, maar jy is ook nie goed genoeg vir die hemel nie. So jy gaan maar tussen in the purgatory. It's unscriptural, it doesn't exist, it's a man-made concept inspired by the devil as a lie. You don't find it in scripture. There's no demilitarized area or safety zone. You've either chosen to spend an eternity in hell, or you've chosen to spend an eternity with God. Are you getting this, church? All right. Okay. Christ has the keys of Hades and of death. Paradise under the earth is now empty, but the torment department of Hades is being filled more every day as people choose to go there. It will hold all the wicked dead until the end of the millennium, when Hades or Sheol will deliver up the souls in it, and the graves will give up all the bodies in them. And then the bodies, souls, and spirits of the wicked will be cast into the eternal fire. That's the lake of fire. So, you might ask Mozzie, who is dit van toepassing op my vandag? What does this got to do with me here and now? Out of all this teaching, and believe me, church, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of this topic. So how's it going to change me? What practical benefit does it have for me in my day-to-day existence in 2021? I want to submit this to you, folks. By the grace of God, may the truth of the Scripture that teaches us the realities of hell change the way we live. That's the purpose. May the truth and the realities of hell change the decisions that we make. What we do with ourselves, with our bodies, with our time, with our resources, with our relationships. May it change the way we treat the gospel and the privilege of being able to fellowship. May it change the way we treat the privilege we have of being able to read God's word. And in Jesus' name, may it change the way we minister to the lost. That's the practical purpose. Nee, dis okay my boet. Dis okay man, die Here verstaan. God is gracious. It's like unending, you know, hallelujah. And in the name of grace, anything goes. That's not grace, people. Grace simply is having the freedom to live the full life that God has destined you for. That's what grace. Grace is not a license om te maak soos wat jy smaak. Grace is not a license to sin. That's not what grace is. Is God gracious? Yes. Has His blood paid the price for our sins? Yes. But heaven is real, and so is hell. People tell me, when I'm reasoning scripturally with them, trying to teach people, ach, what, Mozzie, you know what? Life is short, man. Enjoy it. Yes, life is short. And I'm all into that. Enjoy it. I'm into enjoying life. Jesus promised me that in John 10:10, okay? Just so that we understand each other. I'm into enjoying life. I want God's best for me. I don't know about you. I want His best in every aspect, body, soul, and spirit. Life is short. Enjoy it. However, eternity is long. Prepare for it. So may this teaching on hell change the way we live, the way we think, the way we speak. And may it change the way we minister to others. Nou wat ek nou maak, iemand gee vir my 'n fisiese Bybel asseblief. Tannie, halleluja, can always rely on some startmakers hier. Toe maar Tannie, moenie vir my nie krap merke nie. Clean Bible, dirty Christian, dirty Bible, clean Christian. Hel beteken nie. Broer, turn or burn, you're going to hell, you jerk. You can speak to me like that, I'm gonna like, yeah, whatever, and I'm gonna carry on doing my own thing. But you get the realities of what's in this word, my brother, my sister. Traveled from your head to your heart, where you walk the walk and not only talk the talk, and have experienced the realities of this. When it's here, then in love, when God releases you, you speak the truth in love. Because there's all encompassing and all covering is what grace is. Grace is like a curtain that hangs on a curtain rail called love. Grace has nothing on which to hang unless it hangs on love. So when you want to teach about the realities of hell, please realize first and foremost that were it not for Jesus, you should be there too. You know how I battled to put these thoughts to paper and preach on this morning, because I said, Lord, how dare I speak to your people about hell when I deserve to be there myself? How dare I try and tell somebody about hell when I deserve to be there? But because of Jesus, so please don't ever teach people to threaten them, but open blind eyes to soften hard, stubborn hearts to say, Jesus died to save me from this stuff, not to send me there if I'm naughty. Don't get any COVID free in Jesus' name. I know there's some people that can net nie verby daai ding kyk nie, so I don't know. So the three most important things as we close and land this, not the deep end to come up and just get ready to minister, please. The three most important things that we must take from this is the following. And I close with this and we're going to recap. Hell is real. Everybody say, hell is real. God loves me. Everybody say, God loves me. Because you're worth it. And the third thing is, Jesus Christ died to save us from death. And remember, death is separation from God's plan for your life. He died to separate us from death and hell. So in conclusion, as we summarize, hell is real. God saves us from ourselves, from death, and from hell. God doesn't send people to hell. People choose to go there. Hell was not created for sinners, but for demons and Satan. Hell is not some terrible experience or pain and suffering here on earth. Hell is a very, very real place that exists in the deepest, hottest places of the earth. Hell is most certainly not the grave. And we learn lessons from the account that Jesus teaches in Luke 16 from verse 19 to 31. And then these 3 points that we closed off with again. Hell is real. God loves you. And Jesus Christ has paid the price. It's been a privilege for me to take these last couple of weeks to teach about the truth that you are worth it. When Brandon helped me put together the poster that you see, it depicts every drop of blood that Jesus shed. Every drop counted. Every stripe on his back where he was whipped counted. Every hole in his body caused by nails driven through his wrists and his feet counted. The hole in his side caused by the spear that was shoved into his side by the Roman soldier counted. Every tear that he cried on the cross, every drop of blood mixed sweat that he sweated and cried for us was worth it. Because Jesus would rather spend time in hell than in eternity in heaven without you. After 3 weeks, may the Spirit of God put this together in your head and in your heart to understand you are worth it. Jesus paid the highest price so that he could keep you from making the choice to spend an eternity in hell. He paid the highest price so that we could overcome the enemy's attack, the lies of the devil, and the power of Satan. Eskom has no power, but God is all powerful. God is all powerful. And Jesus died so that to anyone that would say, Lord, please, come and live inside me. Intercessors, would you stand in the gap right now, please? This is the most critical time of the service. He died so that we could come to a place in our lives where we would say, Lord, come in. Come and live inside of me. Last week we spoke about the fact that God would want to live inside of us. He died so that we could do that. And in this beautiful moment of the Spirit of God is just touching people here, and when and if you're watching it online, live, or whenever you do watch it, know this. My friend, you are worth it. God believes it. Jesus knows it. And the Spirit of God is convincing you of that right here and now. Would you dare to give God a chance? Give Jesus a chance to be Lord of your life. Would you choose to believe what's written in his word and which he so beautifully demonstrated and seen in so many people's lives? Would you choose this morning and respond to the invitation that God gives us as he sets before us today death and life, blessing and cursing? Would you dare to choose life? And if you're listening to the Spirit of God this morning and you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity and you want to make your heart right with God, wherever you are, let's pray together. You can pray quietly to yourself or loud, whatever you want to do, just as long as you keep your heart focused on God this morning. As you say, God, you're awesome, you're gracious, you're holy, pure, righteous. And Lord, I want to live forever with you. I want to be set free from the bondages and the traps and the lies of the devil. Lord, I don't want to spend an eternity in hell separate from you. I don't want to burn and burn and burn and suffer just because I make stupid choices on earth and do silly, sinful things. Jesus, I don't deserve life, but that didn't stop you. you still gave up yours so that I can exchange mine for yours. And as I pray to you, God, in the name of Jesus this morning, I give you my life as you have given me yours. Lord, let this beautiful exchange take place in my heart. My life for your life, Jesus. Lord, I submit all my ways, all my ideas and my opinions, my past, my present and future, I submit to you. And I say, Jesus Christ, be Lord of my life. And I ask also, Lord, Holy Spirit, would you come and live inside me and teach me to live one decision at a time for Jesus, one step at a time for Jesus, one day at a time for Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. I ask you, Lord, to cleanse me of all my sin. Wash the slate clean this morning. Renew a steadfast spirit within me and create in me a clean, upright heart, O God. And Lord, I'm just a person, I'm just human, and I will fail. But God, be there to catch me. Be there to keep me. Be there to pick me up. And be there to hold me as you guide me by your Spirit all the days of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen.